Even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
More new homes are being sold in the U.S., but most of the increase is happening in the West. The Commerce Department says the number of new home sales rose 2% last month from January nationwide. In the West, new home sales were up nearly 40% over that same time period. Officials with the U.S. Navy say a Navy tugboat that vanished nearly 100 years ago has been found off the coast of San Francisco. A team of researchers found the wreckage near the Farallon Islands, about 30 miles off the coast. The USS Conestoga left San Francisco for Hawaii in 1921, but disappeared, and its 56 sailors were all declared lost. Here's a good excuse to stop doing one kind of exercise, USA's Chris Barnes explains.
Well, for years we've been told that sit-ups are great for strengthening our core and tightening our abs, but a physical therapist at Ohio State University Medical Center, Chris Kolbe, says, well, you can stop doing those sit-ups because they're not really that good for you.
Actually, we found that the repetitive flexion motion or bending motion does put some stress on the spinal joints and the disc, leading to wear and tear and setting people up for injury.
Kolbe says there are better ways to go than doing sit-ups.
Planks, lateral planks, push-ups, any type of weighted carry. Or standing, pushing, and pulling activities.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is USA Radio News. Breaking news on USARadio.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. It's about 4:04 on March 23rd. Again, I hope you're having a great day, and thanks for staying with us. Hope you enjoyed that segment from 3 to 4 on Hunterdon Healthcare and their initiatives with the workplace. They're really on to something, and if you were listening, please take time to follow them along on social media. You can always go through the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce or the Hunterdon Chamber Radio and keep up with all the details that will affect you guys. It's probably the best investment you can make into your business by having a healthy environment for your workers. So I want to give you an update on the weather forecast this afternoon. Mostly sunny with a high of 69. Partly cloudy tonight with a low about 41. Mostly sunny all day on Thursday with a high of 66. I'm loving that. Showers likely on Thursday night. Mostly cloudy with a low about 50. Chance of rain before noon on Friday. Then a chance of showers afternoon. Partly sunny with a high of 64. And then partly cloudy with a low of 33 on Friday night. Sunny mostly all day with a high of about 56 on Saturday. And then partly cloudy with a low about 35. Sunday mostly sunny all day with a high about 59. And then a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of 44. And then a chance of showers again on Monday, mostly cloudy with a high of 60. So it looks like our weather forecast is going to be very good to us. And I am ready. I'm actually dressed here like it's spring or summer or something with my flip-flops on, and I'm enjoying my day. So I hope you are too. We're going to jump right into our conversation right now. Our guest today in studio at Talented People is Timothy Duggan, and he is a partner with Stark & Stark. They're a prominent law firm with offices in Princeton, Marlton, Morristown, New York, Philadelphia, and Yardley, Pennsylvania. Their website is www.stark, S-T-A-R-K, -stark.com. You can find them pretty easily. With strong ties to the New Jersey market, it goes back to the 1930s. Our guest, Mr. Duggan, is the co-chair of the firm's Real Estate Tax Appeals Group, which focuses on tax appeals for commercial and retail property owners, condominium and homeowner associations of multi-unit properties, banks, national builders, and shopping centers. Timothy, welcome to our show today.
Thank you very much.
All right. Why don't you, I knew I just explained a little bit about you, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I'm a chair of our tax appeal and eminent domain group, and I also represent a lot of banks and commercial workouts and bankruptcies. In the real estate tax appeal group in eminent domain, we litigate the value of real estate. We also defend property owners in challenging the right of the government to take your property.
Wow.
For tax appeals, this is timely. For most municipalities, the appeal deadline is right around the corner, so I'm glad to have an opportunity to be in here and help you out.
Right. Like, you only have about 7 days left. Is it 7 or 8 days? It's April 1st.
Yes, April 1st for most municipalities. If the municipality did a revaluation or a reassessment locally, Hamilton Township did, you have until May 1, but it's always good to check that deadline.
Can you just start a little bit at the beginning and kind of explain what you do a little bit more in detail?
Sure. So
for those that are like me that are like, wow, that was a lot. I know a little bit about eminent domain and I'm like lost from there.
Sure. Well, first on the tax appeal side, we do represent property owners in challenging the assessment of a local assessor. So as we all know, the property taxes in New Jersey are very high. And you have a right to appeal the assessment on an annual basis. So for property owners, we'll counsel them, try to negotiate a lower settlement. And if we're not able to negotiate a lower number, we'll file a complaint in the tax court and go to trial and let the tax court determine the value. On eminent domain, depends on who has taken the property. If it is the over the years, we've had New Jersey School Construction acquire property to build schools. We've had local municipalities to build parks and buildings, the Department of Transportation to widen roads. And most recently, pipeline companies have been crisscrossing New Jersey and using the power of eminent domain to acquire the right to put a pipe on your property underground. And we represent the property owners.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'm so glad to have you here today. I'm just curious about that. Now, I know everybody out there who knows anything about me, I'm like in the Sourland Mountains area between here and Princeton, as where you come from. And we are all affected by this. Had a lot of people in over the last year that I've talked a little bit about it. But if, for the sake of the listeners out there who don't really know what the word eminent domain means, can you just share that a little bit too?
Sure. The United States Constitution has a clause that allows the government to acquire property for a public use as long as it pays just compensation. Initially, that was to enable the government to build roads, parks, schools. Over the years, the right has been watered down where it's not just a public use but a public benefit. Mm-hmm. So you have a famous case out of Connecticut, the Kelo case, where the United States Supreme Court said it was okay to acquire a whole bunch of property, turn it over to a developer to allow that developer to build in that area for the greater good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were upset because that's not a public use.
Right.
But it's a public benefit, and the Supreme Court said, close enough, you can do it. The pipelines are a little bit unusual because there's a federal law that says once the government approves an application and gives what's called a certificate of necessity and need, which means, yes, there's a need for that pipeline, the pipeline company has the power of eminent domain. And that is troublesome because right now the fight's going on down in Washington on whether or not the government's going to allow this pipeline to be built. Once they say yes, they can come back to New Jersey, file complaints, and use the power of eminent domain to take your property. They have to pay you, mm-hmm. and that all ultimately is a huge fight.
I can imagine, and I do see that this was something that we wanted to touch on about here. And I know that since we jumped a little bit ahead, you do want to answer to the how can the owners be compensated for the damage?
It's very difficult because the pipeline companies generally take the position that a pipeline underground in your backyard causes very little damage to your property. You still can use your property. However, that pipeline is not next to their home. So if you put a new pipeline in your backyard, it is a very scary proposition whether or not the pipeline is safe. Oftentimes, it could cause significant problems if it's too close to your home. You might not be able to put a pool in. You might not be able to put a deck in. If you have a larger piece of property and you were hoping to subdivide it, maybe build a second home on it, if the pipeline goes through the back part, you can't do that. Could limit where you put driveways. So it can limit how you use the property. For commercial property owners, it could be very significant. Mm-hmm. You might have plans to put on a large addition to your building, mm-hmm. but where that pipeline goes, you're not going to be able to build over it. So it could have major
warehouse, grocery stores, mall. But even just for the sake of, and now I'm kind of getting probably where my producer at the television station in Princeton, his name is George McCullough. I'm sure he's listening to that. He actually gave me guy's name to talk to you. He actually produced an award-winning video of the pipeline. And it was interesting because what he said to me is, you know, it's not in what you've mentioned is critically important, but also just the way that it changes the landscape of these homeowners, that, you know, it could be their view. Like my view is like the reason I live in Hunterdon County, you know, and, you know, we were watching this documentary about it, and there's so many ways it affects people. There's years of construction sometimes and all that, right?
Very, very, absolutely. And sometimes when they come in, they'll clear cut trees, mm-hmm. and it's a pretty
right.
wide area.
Right.
So if you're in an area of Hunterdon County with mm-hmm. mature trees, they're going through protected streams. They're going through farms that are in farmland preservation, and they're cutting down significant amount of trees. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those trees are buffers. Sometimes it's just a view. When they do, they usually dig up a pipeline. They can bore underground. That's unusual, though. And sometimes it could be a long time period. We had a client that was very concerned, had a very large home, and the pipeline was very close to the house. So we had to hire structural engineers to make sure that the way they built the pipeline would not hurt the foundation of the home. The homeowner has to pay for that. Then it's up to us to get that money back from the pipeline company to mm-hmm. fully compensate them.
I think it's important to call this out, and I know we've got other things to talk about. We're going to right after the break, but I do think that it's also important for those that are listening out there to know that these services actually exist, because a lot of times I think people are actually kind of like, just eminent domain is coming through and you're bullied and you're not going to go talk to the state, or who are you going to do? What are you going to do to reach out and get some help? And a lot of times I don't think they realize that a company like yours provides these services and has obviously tremendous experience in there. I wanted to ask you what the difference between an easement and severance damages were before we go to the break, and how can someone go about determining the amount of the severance damage at their property incurred?
Sure. So what ends up happening is when the government comes in and takes your property, there's usually – unless they take the whole property, which is unusual, if they take part of your property, you're entitled to two parts of the damage claim. The first part is the property they take. How much is that worth? But in taking the property, if it causes damage to the rest of your property, we call that severance damage. Mm-hmm. So even though you're keeping some of your property, it could be worth less.
Right.
And those are very difficult to prove, and they're very tricky cases. We work with sometimes, you know, we have to bring in engineers or land planners, but generally with very good appraisers who can really look at not just what you're doing with the property today, but what you might be doing in the future, because you only get one bite at the apple.
Mm-hmm.
So here, a lot of times the government will say, well, I'm coming through your backyard with a pipeline, and we believe that the cost, you know, the value is $200,000 an acre, which equivalates to X dollars per square feet. But because we're going underground, we'll give you 25% of the amount of feet we take. Here's $1,500. Thank you for letting me build in your backyard. If that's very close to your house, you may say, whoa, that's not all the money. I now can't put an addition on my house. I no longer can put a pool. I can't put a deck. Mm-hmm. Where you cut it, I can't put a shed. There's a whole bunch of different impacts it could have in your home, mm-hmm. including I'm hoping to sell it in the next year.
Right.
So if I put my house on the market and you haven't started construction and someone drives down the road and sees all the green signs, people are very concerned that they'll move on to the next neighborhood right. away from the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very serious concern.
Mm-hmm.
And those are damages that people are entitled to prove, if they could prove it, to a judge or a jury.
Well, I just want everybody out there to know that we have found our source here, Timothy Duggan from Stark & Stark, that we're going to follow along, probably have you back on again just to talk more about that because it's a really big deal here in Hunterdon County. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. It's 416 already on March 23rd. And we're going to go to our break, and then we get back. We're going to talk about some really important tax information that you need to know about that has a deadline coming up very quickly on April 1st. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to the show here. I actually have a guest. He's a partner with Stark & Stark, a prominent law firm in Princeton, New Jersey. They have offices all over Morrilton, Morristown, New York, Philadelphia, Yardley, PA, and also they're very strong in New Jersey, going back to the 1930s. His name is Timothy Duggan, and he's here to share with us some really important information on the real estate tax appeals that are going on and so on with a deadline coming up. So, Timothy, tell us all about why you're here and what's going on.
Sure. Thank you. Well, first, if your town has not done a revaluation or reassessment, you must file your tax appeal by April 1. If it's $1 million or lower, you must file with the local county tax board. Above $1 million, you can file either with the tax board or the tax court. But it's very important to note, April 1, it is a very strict deadline. Not in the mail, but physically filed by April 1. If your town did a revaluation or reassessment, the appeal deadline is May 1. If you're in doubt, just call up your tax assessor and double check, or your local county tax board. They'll let you know the deadline. What's important to note in the tax appeals is when you file the tax appeal, you have the burden of proof, which means that the assessor can show up and do nothing, just sit there. The assessor doesn't have to explain how he or she came up with the number. They could sit there like a potted plant, and it's up to you to come in with good proof to show the numbers wrong. So it's very important if you show up and you're representing yourself as a residential property owner, you have to come in with three or four good comparable sales, have knowledge about those sales, and present a case. You also have to have your taxes paid through the first quarter, which is important. If you're behind in the taxes, you generally can catch up by the tax board hearing, but that's very important.
How long is there between the deadline and the tax board hearing usually?
Usually the tax boards will call you in a town at a time. So they'll start within a month, and then they have to get them done by the summer, or they'll lose their jurisdiction. So what they'll do, if you get in by April, you'll start having hearings in early May, and then the tax board, they're done by counties, will start bringing towns in town by town and try to do a town in a specific day. And it really depends on how many people have appealed in that particular year. So it does happen pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Now, just curious, like, is this a statewide thing? It's like when you talk about they go by city, is it in Trenton or something? Where does this happen at? Or is it in your own community?
So if it's in, for example, in Hunterdon County, mm-hmm. if you want to file with the county tax board, there's a single tax board that you have to get your petition to that tax board.
Okay.
Each county has a single tax board, usually, you know, in the county seat. Mm-hmm. So it would be, you know, Somerville, Flemington, you know, where the different county tax boards are. The tax court, all the filings are done now electronically, which is very good.
Okay, good.
So on the tax court, you could file electronically, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. The tax boards aren't all there yet. So I think one or two may be filed electronically, but the balance of them are still paper. We're hoping by next year all the counties will be able to file electronically with a credit card so people could do it themselves. Mm-hmm. Most of what we file is in the tax court, and we do them all electronically.
Wow.
And that's been very helpful. Oftentimes you'll get people the morning of the deadline come in and say, gee, I want to file my appeal. I forgot about it. I came back from vacation. Now it's much easier to file electronically.
But you said that is a hard deadline date. So that can they even come in the next day? Or no. You just say, sorry, you missed it, right?
Sorry, you missed it.
Got to be paying attention today. April 1st is right a week away.
And if they make a mistake, we have what's called the correction of error statute that mm-hmm. allows you to go back in time. Very, very strict. It really almost has to be a math error where instead of assessing you at $300,000, they assessed you at $3 million. Mm-hmm. If they're just wrong on the value or wrong in the size of your house or, you know, think you have 9 bedrooms when you have 3, you can't go back in time.
Can you talk a little bit about that just for the sake of anyone out there like me who's just thinking about this? You know, I just get my tax assessment bill and I don't even think about it. You know what I mean? I just think, oh, this is what it is. What about that? Like when you're talking about, like, are they supposed to be able to come into your property? Do you have to open your door? How do they know what's going on in your house? And how do you know if they're right or wrong to the taxes to even appeal it?
That's an excellent question. First, you don't have to let them in unless you appeal. If you let them in, they have a right to inspect. But before that, they have no right to come on your property. However, then they'll be guessing.
Right.
So we've had people say, well, I didn't let them in. And then there was an error and they'll complain about the error. And mm-hmm. you really can't have it both ways. I think the most important thing to remember is everyone's familiar with getting their little green card.
That's what I'm thinking of.
January and February.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a number on it, and that'll be your assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But each town has a ratio of assessment to what we call true value. So let's assume you have a house that's worth $300,000, and your card says your assessment's $200,000. You may say, oh, I really can't do anything. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, because if you live in a town where the ratio is 50%, they're assessing you as if your house is worth $400,000. So when you get that little green card, you have to find out what's the ratio for your town,
mm-hmm.
and then divide that ratio into the number. So an example would be 50%. So if your assessment's 200 and you divide by 0.5, you'll get 400. That's what they're really taxing you on. So let's assume you believe your house is worth $300,000. In a town with a 50% ratio, you're $100,000 over-assessed, but the number on your card is 200.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to figure that out? You don't.
That's right.
Now you have towns. Elizabeth and Union County's ratio is 13%.
My God.
So if you have a property worth $1 million and your card comes in at $500,000, you probably say, gee, I can't do anything. You're way over-assessed.
That's unbelievable.
And they do not put the ratio on the card. So just like, the number.
Okay. Like, I'm thinking about credit card companies, Truth in Lending, all these things. I'm like, oh, my God. I never even thought about it.
That is – I don't know why.
Nobody knows how to read the cards.
The math should be done for you. I do believe that the municipality, when they mail these cards out, should have not only the assessment, but they should convert it into the – we call it imputed true value, which is what they're saying your house is worth. Mm-hmm. Now, Hunterdon County – most of the municipalities do a pretty good job of maintaining the records, and all those ratios mm-hmm. are in the 90s. Mm-hmm. They do a pretty good job of trying to stay up to date. Mm-hmm. You have certain counties, well, they never do the revaluations, mm-hmm. and you'll have ratios 13, 15, 22, 23, and unless a homeowner or a business person knows to divide by the ratio, they probably don't know.
It's just paying the bill. Well, it's interesting to me because I honestly believe the little green card, the only reason I even considered it if something, it was just stick in my tax file to say how much taxes were paid. You know what I mean? That's all. I never even read it as far as assessment goes. So, you know, welcome to my world. This is like an education here, and I'm sure a lot of people are the same way. We just don't think about second-guessing, questioning. So say someone actually does understand this ratio and they have either for their business, commercial, or residential – if they are absolutely certain that there's something wrong, like I get what you said, it was estimated $3 million and it was only $300,000. That's like a mathematical issue. Can't be that hard to fix, right?
Yeah. Well, I think what ends up happening is, so if you find out it's wrong, you have to appeal or it stays for the next year.
Wow.
And that's the problem. You can't come back and fix that.
Wow.
For people that have smaller appeals, there are many. If you're going to find a lawyer, it has to be a tax appeal lawyer mm-hmm. that really understands how the process works. The municipality is also given a 15% sort of safety corridor that you have to get outside. Mm-hmm. So it's really not a level playing field. One is they don't tell you the ratio. Mm-hmm. Two, you have the burden of proof. And three, they get the 15% safety corridor. So – and fourth and most important, if you appeal – they could raise the assessment. They could cross-appeal to raise it.
Oh, that's just like an electric fence trying to prevent you from doing anything.
Well, and we often have had stories where, you know, we tell our clients, you know, look before you leap.
Yeah.
You better have a good handle right. on mm-hmm. that assessment, and we try to screen them. Sometimes someone will come in and file a tax appeal, and the assessor comes out and inspects. And he goes, oh. Didn't know you finished the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Did that without a permit.
Boo-hoo.
Oh,
going in the wrong direction.
Going in the wrong direction, and it could create other problems. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we'll tell people, you know, run it by a local broker, if mm-hmm. you know it. Did anything sell on your street? Did you do a bank refinancing maybe in the last 2 years? Take a look at the appraisal as a screening mechanism.
Oh, that's a good idea.
For the county tax board, it is pretty user-friendly if you are prepared. Sometimes we'll advise people, give them the name of an appraiser and say, go in with the appraiser yourself for a smaller appeal. That's very effective. If people want to go in themselves, they can pick the three crummiest sales in town or the three lowest ones. And they have to understand the circumstances of a sale. So, for example, if you bought it at a sheriff sale or you bought it from your mom or somebody was being relocated and was on the market for 10 days, mm-hmm. they may not be good sales that are persuasive. If it's listed with a broker, you know, in a reasonable time period and you went and negotiated, that would be a good sale.
You could use it as a comparable?
Very, very important point. You just said use it as a comparable. And that's the answer is if you come in with your sale alone, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to win. It's got to be one of several comparables. So mm-hmm. if you bought a home and it was $310,000 and two others sold your neighborhood for $300,320 and you come in with all three, you can show yours is a market sale and is a good sale, then they'll look at it closely.
Wow.
So it has to be in as one of your comparable sales. Mm-hmm. If you come in with that single sale, you're going to have a hard time.
Do you all at Stark & Stark, do you – when at first I'm just curious – Is this something that is like a really, like, is this happening all the time? Do you have people calling up all the time that have these problems? Is it a very, is it a significant situation? Does it happen that often?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll get, really? In the month of March, wow. I get a tremendous amount of calls, and they fall into two groups. One group is just flat out complain about New Jersey taxes.
Mm-hmm.
When you file a tax appeal, you are not appealing
Advocate.
Your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing you're doing is what's that number?
Mm-hmm.
So generally in the summer, they pass a budget, and that's what the town needs.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it by allocating it among property values.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people say, gee, I'm paying $12,000 a year in taxes, and that's way too high. I want to get them down. And they say, well, my house is assessed at $450,000. And we say, well, if you sold it today, what could you get? Oh, I get much more than that. It's worth more than that. But I'm paying too much in taxes. That really doesn't matter what you pay in taxes. Is that number right?
Mm-hmm.
Is
it inconsistency with the other properties and their square footage and their acreage is what the question is, right?
Well, in market sales, the other thing you can't do is compare assessments.
Really?
So if your neighbor's assessment is much lower, you can't go in and say, well, gee, that's not fair. I'm paying more in taxes because we have the identical house, but mine's higher.
Why not?
Because you need comparable sales, not
right.
assessments. Court may say, well, just because that person gets a bad assessment doesn't mean you're entitled to a bad assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have some inconsistencies, and it's very limited. What is your home worth as of October 1 of the prior year? So you look at October 1, 2015, what was your property worth, and what do you have to show that it's what you think it's worth with comparable sales? For commercial properties, it's much trickier. We use the income approach where you have to look at the income. So if I'm going to buy an office building, I don't care what other office buildings sold. I want to know what's the cash that I'm going to get out of this building.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want an 8% return on my money, I'll do the math and come up with what I'll pay. And that's what the tax court does.
Are most of the clients that you all have in this particular tax appeal area residential or corporation?
Most of them are commercial corporate clients.
Mm-hmm.
We also do residential. We focus on the larger ones. We have a lot of large ones. I had one in Princeton where before the appeal, this individual was paying $180,000 a year on his property taxes with no kids in the school, no sewer, and no water. Obviously a very nice house, but still $180,000. And I joke with my wife, if he gave it to me for free and said, I'm giving it to you for free,
you
just pay the taxes. I'm like, I can't afford it for free.
Right. No, right. That's so true.
And you do get, you know, some of those problems. On the commercial side, we're very careful about screening them. We like to get the people in early so we could have ample time to screen to make certain it's fair. Tenants that are paying the taxes, oftentimes the landlord will have the tenant pay the taxes. They have a right to appeal.
Wow, that's interesting.
So there's a lot of different people. I represent banks while we're foreclosing. Sometimes we'll appeal. So there's a lot of different people who are interested in lowering the taxes. So whoever's paying it, that's the person that wants them low.
Right, right. So can you just explain what are Chapter 91 requests?
Yeah, we call them the silent killer.
Uh-oh.
And what that is the municipality is allowed to send out to commercial property owners that have income, so it's income-producing properties, a request for the income for the property and all the expenses. And you have 45 days to respond. And if you don't, they could knock out your appeal. So usually in the summer, they'll send a certified letter saying, give me all of your names of your tenants and the amount of income you have and how much your expenses. The idea is the assessor is supposed to accumulate this information so they could stay current what's going on in the market. Many property owners say, well, I don't want to tell them what my rent is. They're just going to increase it. So they don't answer. And then they'll come to us in April and say, wow, I'm over assessed by $3 million. Can you file an appeal? And we say, yes. We always ask, did you file the Chapter 91? Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes they say, I don't know. We'll file an appeal, and then we'll get a nice note for the tax assessor. By the way, your client failed to
make the deadline of the 45 days, did you say?
45 days for an income-producing property. Now, we'll go back and make sure. The court will also hold the town to a pretty high standard. It has to be the right notice, sent certified mail. There's a lot of requirements for the municipality.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not income-producing. Mm-hmm. We've had them file motions. We say it's not income producing. We don't have to do it.
So even if they missed the deadline, were they okay by not answering?
Okay,
because they just happened to qualify in a little area that made
they didn't have
them
income.
Exempt.
Right.
Good.
So it was owner-occupied. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, we tell our clients, we advise them and send out notices, keep your eye out for that Chapter 91.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and fill it out because you don't want to find yourself on the losing end of the tax appeal.
So much information to understand and to know about. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm trying to get through a lot of the questions I had written down here, but I wanted to make sure that we touched upon everything that you wanted to talk about today so far. Is there another part to this that you want to make sure people know about right now?
Well, I just think, you know, from the tax appeal point of view, you got to get, you know, keep the deadline in mind, you know, try to make sure that your appeal has merit so you're not wasting time,
mm-hmm.
and get it filed by the deadline. You can file lawyers that'll do it on a contingency fee.
I want to ask about this. Yes.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So what we represent our clients on both hourly and contingency fee, and we give the client the option. So on very large appeals, they may want to pay us hourly.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, in tax appeals, you'll pay a percentage of the tax savings. So you'll go in if you don't save anything. It doesn't cost you anything other than an appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lawyers that do this a lot and know the assessors can generally go in and negotiate a deal. So I do think that just because you think it's going to be too expensive, don't hesitate to give a tax appeal lawyer a call.
Absolutely.
And just ask.
Oh, God. I'll talk about that in a second. But I did want to clarify. You had mentioned before about even with the online transactions or applications that they were going online. You mentioned something about the homeowner or the individual can do it with a credit card. What were you referring to?
They're not doing those now. That'll be in the future. So right now, if you're going to file an appeal, you can go on the county's website, download the petition,
mm-hmm.
and it's a one-page petition. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of information, name, address, lot and block. Pretty much everything that you need to fill out is on that little card. You fill it out. You send it into the tax board with a check.
For how much about? Do you have any idea?
It goes based upon the value of the property. You have small claims, I believe, is between $25 and $100. It's not that expensive.
Right.
You mail a copy to the tax assessor and the township clerk, and then you will get a notice with your tax board hearing.
Interesting. I'm like the big advocate. I talk about property adjusters all the time. I talk about caseworkers and everything. And in almost any situation, I'm like, you have got to be represented because you don't even know what you don't know.
If you have a smaller appeal, you know, a home where you think you're only going to save, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 and you don't want to pay a lawyer, you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you have really good comparable sales and you're a confident, aggressive person, just go in and put your case on.
Mm-hmm.
If not, we'll have people call oftentimes and we'll give them the name of a good appraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And that good appraiser will do the appraisal and help you negotiate if they do a lot of appraisals in that town.
They usually, what, a couple, $300, $400?
Well, you know, they're anywhere from $300 to $600 because mm-hmm. when you do a bank appraisal, for example,
mm-hmm.
you mail it in, you don't hear from anybody. If you are a appraiser for a tax appeal, you may be sitting in a seat with a township lawyer nitpicking all of your comparable sales. So you
right.
do have to do more work.
Yes.
On the commercial side, the appeals get expensive for the bigger properties because you may have a three-day trial with the lawyer from the municipality really cross-examining in a very efficient way and nitpicking everything you did. So they have to spend more time in preparing the appraisal.
Well, I just think, you know, and just – you know, quick learn here for everybody out there and me, what you were mentioning about what they have as preventive measures that you have to clear all four of them, and there's probably even more, just to make sure that you are actually able to move forward is always worth consulting with, you know, someone like your company so that you can understand that if you even have a case.
Yes, and you could also in the fall, in October, if you think you're too high, you know, don't hesitate to call your tax assessor and try to open a dialogue. Oftentimes in small towns, they don't have offices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tax assessor is like the dentist. When people go to see it, they're expecting pain. And I think it's a tough job because mm-hmm. everybody that comes to see the assessor mm-hmm. is complaining.
Oh, I can't imagine being the tax assessor, poor person, you know, because they have to be at the dartboard, walking target.
They are, and they have nothing to do with the budget.
They have nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with the budget. They're just coming up with a number. And mm-hmm. if they're wrong and you mm-hmm. could show it, now if you go to meet with them, they're probably going to want to come out and inspect your home. So if you have your ducks in order and you reach out to the assessor, many of them will make a correction But they'll want to see something. Mm-hmm. And I think that works. Now, if you have a disagreement, then just file by April 1.
Well, just interesting enough, I have to mention everybody out there and give a little bit of courtesy to at least the state of New Jersey administration. I've been dealing with for the last couple of years. So I have a couple of different businesses and so on with my business partner, Colleen Kelly, Talented People, Mariah Media, Jeannie Murphy PR. And I can only say that I have been surprised in many cases about how many times we've talked to people who work for the state who have really been more than accommodating, more than interested in it. They're not terrifying. They're just people, like you talk about the tax assessor. So I also think that sometimes, you know, when you have representation and you know what you're doing, they've got to be fair sometimes too, right?
They are. And in this area between Somerset, Mercer, and Hunterdon County in this region, I find all three of those tax boards to be extremely courteous and extremely reasonable. However, they do require you to come in with some level of proof.
Be professional. Be prepared.
You have to be prepared, and it's all about the preparation, and it comes down to, are there comps? Mm-hmm. What do the comps show? Mm-hmm. And once you leave the reservation and go off and you move away from the comps, that's when you have problems.
So just to clarify then, for the April 1st deadline where you were saying that you can go online, download the form, fill it out, send your check, you don't have to have the comps in that part of it?
You don't have the comps in that part. We would just encourage people to try to screen to make sure it's not going to be increased. And before the tax hearing, 7 days before, you have to mail in and serve on the municipality your comparable sales. Mm-hmm. So no one's seen it the day of the hearing. So you have, a short time period, a couple weeks to go out and get your comparable sales. And you have to give the information to the assessor as well as the tax board. And then you could show up and present your case.
And you can just call Stark and Stark and have them.
Yep. That's we're more than happy to do it. And
yes.
In certain areas, even throughout the state, if it's a smaller appeal, we have relationships with other firms that we could refer people to. So if it's a smaller appeal, don't hesitate to call. We might be able to hook you up with an appraiser or another lawyer geographically. If it's in tax court, we handle them all throughout the state.
Okay. Good to know. And I love that you're helpful. If there's some other place they need to go, you guys can just direct them over. Certainly know what you're doing. It's already 4:42. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. I hope you're having a great day. And I hope you're enjoying this conversation. I always find these just so informative. And then I walk away saying, oh my God, I learned so much today. Hope you did too. Timothy Dugan, a partner at Stark & Stark. Offices all over the state of New Jersey. You can get in touch here. We're going to go to our last break real quick, and then we'll be right back. Stay with us. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with accounting firm of Bedard Corky & Company. and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's already 4:46 on March 23rd, and I'm just learning so much. I hope you are too, about New Jersey and the tax appeals process. My guest today in studio is Timothy Dugan. He is a partner at Stark & Stark. They're a prominent law firm in offices in Princeton, Marlton, Morristown, New York, Philadelphia, and Yardley. Strong ties again to New Jersey market that go back to the 1930s, and he's co-chair of the firm's Real Estate Tax Appeals Group. He's been sharing with us information on commercial and the retail property owners' situations, condominiums, homeowner associations, multi-unit properties, banks, national builders and shopping centers, but we're going to touch upon an interesting one that was left off there, which is hospitals, and in particular, what's going on with Princeton University. So can you tell everybody about what's going on?
Sure. That's been a big topic in the tax appeal area. Morristown challenged the tax exemption of Morristown Memorial Hospital. Generally, hospitals are one of the types of property that are exempt, along with a lot of others. And the municipality didn't think that the hospital was set up properly and that people were making a substantial amount of money under the guise of a hospital. And a recent rule and a similar type of argument was made with Princeton University, where it really comes down to the old adage of follow the money.
Right.
So there's a property owner group in Princeton that has challenged the tax exemption of Princeton University. Generally, schools are an exempt use.
Right.
This is a private school, but it's still an exempt use. And this group of property owners in Princeton has filed a complaint to challenge the exemption.
How long has this been going on?
The Princeton case has been going on. I believe this will be the third year. The first year was just a portion of the campus. I believe the second year is all of the campus. And they're trying to make a similar argument with a hospital, which is we want to follow all the money that Princeton University is generating from patents, and what are they doing with that money?
Oh, my God.
Are they truly exempt?
Wow.
If the municipality was to win that, I couldn't imagine how you would value Princeton University other than being a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides are very good counsel. I know the lawyers involved in the case personally are very good friends, and both sides have excellent counsel, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Do they have this situation going on anywhere else with, like, the university, like a Princeton, like a Harvard? Or has anything happened like this before recently?
Not in New Jersey. I think that a lot of the municipalities are looking at properties that were exempt as a source of revenue, mm-hmm, to say, are you really exempt? Mm-hmm. They may look at a church. Are you truly a church? And if
right,
you are, it's not a problem.
Right.
Looking
well,
at
like you mentioned, the private universities or the private schools – They're traditionally exempt, right?
So yes. So a school use would be exempt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, private schools are also exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of following the money. Is it really a not-for-profit? You know, a non-for-profit private university is fine.
Scary.
But you have to, you know, you
very,
have to follow the money.
It's very, scary. Yeah.
And the same thing with the hospitals. So
wow,
recently, as soon as the Morristown Memorial decision came down, Obviously, the lobbyists ran down to Trenton to see what they could do mm-hmm. about correcting this and coming up with some resolution. The initial bill was vetoed by Governor Christie. And now
vetoed for Princeton University?
No, for the hospitals. They were trying to change the law for the hospitals to tighten it up. And, mm-hmm. yeah, there's been some thought saying, well, you don't want to hit the hospitals with too much
right.
because that can increase health care.
Oh, boy.
But at the same time, should they pay something? Mm-hmm. So you can come up to say, well, a payment in lieu of taxes for X dollars. And you sort of split the baby and come up with something in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
When that didn't go through, a number of municipalities filed complaints challenging the tax exemption for a number of hospitals in New Jersey. And again, it's going to be a matter of following.
Is that happening in all the states or just in New Jersey?
New Jersey is a little different because we rely so heavily upon our property taxes. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a lot of
So they're trying to find other places to get the money.
Yes, because it's so expensive for our mm-hmm. schools. If you look mm-hmm. at your tax bill and probably 70-80% is to fund the local schools, and the costs aren't going down. So people are looking to find ways to maximize the revenue. I wouldn't say they're picking on these.
No.
But they're looking at
they're just
sources.
Looking at it and saying, if we can't find it here, can we find it there? And then all of a sudden you're opening up a can of worms because I don't know enough to comment. So I'm letting everybody out there. I'm going, oh boy, I could see both sides of it a little bit. And I couldn't even give you any idea what I would be thinking because I'd be wrong. But that's why you guys are the attorneys and the counsel and you're looking at it. And I mean, I can't imagine being those that are bringing the case on or those that are, protecting the case on either one of those or all of them.
It takes a lot of accountants and mm-hmm. you're, you really have to dig deep of what's really going on, mm-hmm. how is it structured, and mm-hmm. where's the money going.
And then at the end of the day, if you actually do accomplish something, say that they were able to get them to be, is it non-exempt then? Then they have to apply that to all of the others, right?
Well, the other ones that are like them.
Yeah.
So you may have one hospital that they find is not exempt because of the way the money's following, but you may have three others in the town that are exempt.
And that's
okay. So it's really specific.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires both sides to do a lot of work. They're expensive cases, a lot of accountants. Depositions and really preparing the case.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, you got to put a value on it.
Right. Oh,
how
I can't
do you value
even
a hospital?
No, I remember last year just reading, I think it was a year, maybe 2 years ago, Princeton University received that that inheritance of those. Did you remember that?
Yes.
It was like 200 books or something that were worth millions of dollars and so on left to them. And like you say about the patents and stuff, and I just think about, oh my God, how could you value anything? And I don't know what one way or the other if it's right or wrong. I just think it's interesting. And I do give everybody a little credit for trying to find places that, follow the money if there is a reason to. Then I would be okay with that. But let's go back to, your tax appeals group and give everybody a reminder real quick about what's happening and the deadline on April 1st.
Yes. So April 1 is the appeal deadline, and you have to have your appeal into either the tax board or the tax court. If it's $1 million or below, you have to file with the tax board. That's your local tax board in the county where you live. The tax boards have websites that you could download the forms, get them signed and your fee paid and to the tax board by April 1. If it's the day before the day of, drive it over and hand it to them and mail a copy to the assessor and the clerk. For the tax court, you can file them electronically. But to be in the tax court, you have to be over $1 million.
Okay.
And that's very important. Mm-hmm. If your town did a reassessment or revaluation, the deadline is May 1. If there is any doubt, go onto your municipality's website or just call the tax assessor's office and ask what the deadline is.
I want to remind anybody, if you want to get in touch, you can go to the website, too. It's stark-stark.com, stark-stark.com. Real fast, while you have a second or two, can you tell us a little bit more about your practice, knowing that you're all over the place, New York, Philadelphia, especially New Jersey, Princeton area around here? What other services do you all provide so that, again, if anyone's listening, just because you did share so much information?
Yeah, we're a full-service firm. We have the top personal injury group in the state. They are all throughout the state. We have specialties in nursing home, traumatic brain injuries, motorcycle groups, a lot of attorneys that specialize, as well as handling every other type of personal injury claim. Throughout, we also have a large workers' compensation group. We also have a large business practice representing businesses, security companies, banks, commercial landlords, intellectual property companies. So we're a full-service law firm, a criminal practice.
Really? Also. Criminal, too?
Criminal. So wow. We have white-collar crime as well as all types of municipal court, criminal law, DUIs. So we are a full-service firm throughout New Jersey. Pennsylvania, as well as parts of New York. I practice just bankruptcy in New York in the Southern District, where a lot of bigger cases are filed. And we also have certain practices down in Delaware. I'll practice bankruptcy in Delaware, but nothing else.
Fascinating. Really. And I mean, really, how many employees do you have over there, attorneys and so on?
Yeah, so we're about 100 lawyers and mm-hmm. about 260 employees. And the main office is in Princeton. The other offices, the silo offices, are fully staffed and pretty much handle all aspects of the law. And we work in groups. I mean, it's the nice thing about it is when we have a client that has an issue, we put a team together mm-hmm. that really can meet the client's needs. And you may have a large development project that has an environmental aspect. We have an environmental lawyer that needs to go before the planning board. We have a top land use group. They'll come see me with the tax appeal during the process. Is it too high? Or the government's coming to widen the road. And we, you know, go in and represent mostly property owners. I do represent the government on occasion on eminent domain cases.
That is just incredible. I'm so glad to have you here. One I've ready to know, again, his name's Timothy Dugan, and he's a partner with Stark & Stark. He brought us so much information today. I want to thank George McCullough again, the producer over at Princeton Television in Princeton, because I happened to be in there, and he mentioned how we should be talking to someone from the firm. And I'm just so glad to have you here today. It's really been great meeting you. And you know, I hope everybody out there listening, you know, reaches out to them if you're looking for representation so many ways. And also, don't forget about that tax appeal deadline. It's just next week on April 1st.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Timothy. And thank you guys all for listening in again. It's already 4:56. This is Talented People. We'll be back next Wednesday, 3 to 4 and 4 to 5. In the meantime, have a great week and enjoy what's supposed to be some beautiful weather in the next couple of days here in the New Jersey area. Take care.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Avi Strong.
We need better training, screening training for the TSA agents. They screen them. They do a good job screening, but you can always be better, particularly as ISIS gets more sophisticated.
Senator Chuck Schumer wants changes to airport security following the Belgium terrorist attacks.
Senator Schumer thinks TSA agents do a good job, but they need better training. And he says airport perimeter security is weak. And
we have to look at airport security before you check in. That's where these terrorists, they had bombs in their luggage. Some airports deal with that, some don't.
However, the New York Democrat thinks the U.S. does a much better job than Europe.
They don't surveil people as well. They don't keep track of people who have been to Syria and trained with ISIS and come back to their countries.
Scott Pringle, New York.
Two brothers are identified as the suicide bombers in the ISIS attack. A third man remains on the run. This is USA Radio News.
Every floor in stock is on sale at Lumber Liquidators end of quarter clearance sale. 100 million square feet of top quality flooring is priced to move. Get incredible deals on 60 styles of North American and European laminate, including the look of oak, maple, or cherry for under a dollar. 200 styles of pre-finished hardwood from just 99 cents. Save $2 a square foot on beautiful Bellawood 3/4 inch solid Brazilian cherry and get pre-finished solid bamboo from $149. Plus wood look tile, vinyl plank, and more from 69 cents and pay no interest until 2018. The end of quarter clearance sale is going on now, so visit lumberliquidators.com to find a store near you today.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, is this the right price on paper?
Yes, it is.
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more savings. Make everyday low prices happen. Make everything for your business happen. Staples. Make more happen.
Argentina's pulled a joint news conference this afternoon, and then later today he holds a town hall stunt with young people. A former Texas state trooper pleading not guilty to charges an American woman who was found dead in her jail cell after he arrested her. Sandra Bland was found hanged in her cell last July, her death ruled a suicide. Former trooper Brian Encina pleading not guilty to a misdemeanor charge of lying on Bland's arrest reports. The tap water in many small communities is in violation of federal safety regulations, even after being reported years ago. USA Radio's Anthony Lacero reports.
A federal report released on Tuesday says over three-quarters of small community water systems in the U.S. that had the most serious health-related violations in 2011 were still not in compliance. The report from the EPA's Inspector General do more to make sure that the water in small communities. The report notes that many small water systems, a million people in the U.S., are less likely to have capacity to monitor their water for repairs.
Starbucks plans to give its unsold food to needy people instead of throwing out its unsold perishable food items. Donate the ready-to-eat meals to food banks. The Starbucks Food Share Pro partnership with the Feeding America